May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building. The calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
This scripture reading is from Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. This particular reading is Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of him where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Will you join me in prayer? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. In your holy name we pray. Amen. This Sunday we celebrate Epiphany, which remembers the visit of the Magi to the Christ child. It is for us a reminder that this story belongs not only to the community of the people of Israel, but to an ever-expanding community of humanity and all creation, that the Magi perceived in the stars signs pointing them to something holy happening there in Israel, something so clear that they were motivated to make that long journey. It's a reminder to us that this story isn't ours alone, but meant for something bigger. And so we remember and celebrate this lovely story of Magi bringing gifts to the Christ child, bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh. It's a reminder of our own call to bring our gifts to the Christ child, our gifts to this work of Christ that's happening in and through us and the community that is the church and through the whole world. But the story's tinged with ominous tones as well. The Magi visit King Herod, expecting to get clarity from him about where to find the Christ child, but instead find a ruthless ruler threatened by news of another king being born. And although our reading stopped short of describing the horrors that were to come, it left us with a hint of what was to come, the devastation and destruction that would be wrought by King Herod when he sensed threat of another ruler, a rival who might take his place. Our text today, which Mac read for us, simply read with an ended with the news they left for their own country by another road. They were able to perceive the danger, to know that another way was necessary to honor the holiness that had come into the world. I've been reflecting this week on moments of holiness, of perceiving signs and moments here in this world. And for whatever reason, I have again and again come back to a memory, a distinct moment of experience of holy mystery that has captivated me ever since it happened, well more than 20 years ago. When I was a junior in college, I was active in our campus Habitat for Humanity group, and we were in the habit of taking alternative spring breaks together. So instead of going to a more traditional spring break destination, we traveled to a city where we volunteered in the house building work of Habitat for Humanity. You may know Habitat well. Our congregation has been involved in supporting Habitat house builds here in the Culver City area in recent years. Their model is sprung from a hope to give everyone a simple, decent place to live. And they sell homes at no interest loans to those who will come to live in them, asking sweat equity of working side by side with volunteers on either the house that they will come to own or another house as a different kind of investment in the property. I have always found this work to be one that gives me hope, the work of investing in place, in safe dwelling, in working together for community. But on this particular day, when we were working in Paducah, Kentucky, on a spring break trip, as we painted the outside of an old wooden home that was being rehabilitated to be sold as a Habitat house, as the sun moved around the building and we kept relocating sides in order to work in at least partial shade,
In the middle of the afternoon, I have a distinct memory of painting white paint onto the narrow boards of the siding of this house, and suddenly being filled with a full sort of visceral bodily foremory. I don't know if that's a thing. It suddenly felt like I was painting a home that I knew I was going to dwell in with my kids and my grandkids. Now, I didn't have a boyfriend at the time. I was not ready to have children, far less grandchildren. I wasn't particularly given to contemplating that every day. But somehow, as I painted the side of that wooden house, I felt a peace and security and assurance that came from a confidence that it would be a dwelling place for me, for my friends, not in a literal way. I knew that this is a house I would likely never return to, but somehow that afternoon's labors felt like an investment in the kind of security that is most secure, an investment in creating dwelling places in which life can flourish. And although it wasn't mine, I knew it was also mine. In a strange way, I think that this is the message of Epiphany. As the message of Christ's birth, as the good news of salvation comes to these magi who've traveled a great distance, it comes as assurance that this story is good news, is a dwelling secure, not in typical earthly terms or in the lives of our typical individualistic way of seeing the world, but somehow in sharing together in this good news, in offering it to an ever-expanding community of others, we gain a deeper assurance of the promise of Christ. I think this is what the writer of Ephesians is pointing us to as he talks about this mystery of Christ. The letter, especially in the passage we read for today, is clearly attributed to Paul. Those scholars dispute that and suggest it might be written by someone else in his name. Whoever penned it in the name of Paul meant to convey something of the wonder and gift that is this mystery of Christ, meant not for us in this group, but for an ever-expanding community. Not just for the people of Israel, but for the Gentiles as well. Not for those of us here in this place, but for everyone we're tempted to call other in any other place. The mystery of Christ, then, is a distinct contrast to the Greek mystery sects that existed at the time, where mystery was understood as a secret. The Greek word translated as mystery has to do with keeping your mouth shut. The Greek word for mystery has to do with concealing and hiding a secret, preserving that secret for an isolated community of people who are in. But this mystery, the mystery toward which the writer of Ephesians points us, mystery is something else entirely. Not a secret to be held, but a different way of perceiving the world, experiencing and seeing it, that expands out, always including another into the community. It's a gift meant not for us, but for them, as they, we recognize, become a part of us, as we share in community with the whole of creation. This mystery, then, is not about something that's hidden and unknown. I was moved this week to return to some of the work of Howard Thurman, as expanded upon by the Thurman scholar Luther Smith, now retired from the Candler School of Theology. He writes that mystery is often thought to be the secret, hidden, and unknown aspects of the transcendent God. This misunderstanding supposes that the more knowledge we have, the less mystery there is. If mystery are the things we don't know, the more we come to know, the less mystery there is, as there's just more known and a smaller quantity of mystery. In that way of thinking, God's nature as mystery is diminished by increasing human knowledge. Luther Smith, drawing from the wisdom of Howard Thurman, invites us to consider that God's mystery is something different entirely. That there's a mystery at the heart of God's nature, and the proper response isn't questions and answers. It's not reduced by conclusions, but instead it invites awe and wonder. And the deeper we come to appreciate this mystery, the more of it we see. Instead of a mystery that's reduced by our knowledge and experience, a mystery becomes expanded as we come to more clearly and frequently touch the edges of a depth of God that we can never fully fathom. This mystery of God holds together things that otherwise wouldn't seem to belong. It allows us to claim a God who is at once imminent, present here in us and the world around us, and transcendent, far more than the sum of all of these places and people in whom we see the presence of God. It allows us to hold together a God who is both deeply embedded in me, in you, as a particular manifestation of the image of God, God who is personal to each one of us, and a God who brings the many together in a new kind of unity. These contradictions are somehow held in a vital tension as we experience the beautiful mystery of God. And on this Sunday of Epiphany, I invite you to know and claim that mystery as it works in each of us to dare to believe that to our very depths, to the swirling particles of atoms at the center or edge of who we are, God is present, and that God is somehow more than all of it. And that God invites us to participation, but never for our own sake. The community that Christ invites us into, the manifestation or epiphany of God that is real here in our midst, cannot exist except in community. Our belonging in God draws us into a community, an interrelationship that's the very heart of who God is. So much so that when I was painting that house on the edge of town in Paducah, Kentucky, I was painting a house that was mine. Not in the limited sense, not in a literal sense that I, in this physical body, would ever walk through that doorway, but that the one who received it is a part of me, a part of us, a part of the presence of Christ here in this world. This is the mystery of God, not a mystery to conceal or hold on to, as if we're the exclusive holders of the truth about God, but a mystery to hold lightly as those who've come to see the gift that is God's presence here in our midst, and who dare to believe that it changes everything about who we are, that it calls each one of us beloved, and that it invites us, it challenges us, it requires us to see everyone else we encounter is also a part of our own Christ self. We are the body of Christ together. And we, this congregation, are a part of that body of Christ, a part of the mystery of God as we, in this time and place, seek to be faithful to God in offering compassion and grace to a world in need. And in this moment of pandemic, it is so hard to continually remember that our call is always to act lovingly toward others. But we have to willingly surrender a little bit of our mobility, cover a little more of our faces with excellent masks in order to protect the well-being of others. We cannot be drawn into ways of thinking that isolate us from others, that imagine that we could be safe without also helping ensure the safety of others. Our call is to be a part of the ever-expanding community that is God's presence in the world, a mystery that holds us together and draws us on as we seek to be faithful to a love that's deeper than we can possibly understand. May we be faithful to that call this Epiphany and always. Amen.